Well, good morning, everybody. I'm having one of those extremely nervous situations coming up here this morning. And I was looking through so much, there's been so much scripture I was looking through this morning, and there was a lot talked about Thursday night. A lot talk about Thursday night that I really want to hit on. You know, Paul said something very interesting. Paul said something that made me shake and quake. He was talking about how presumptive we can be. I mean, you take a look at when Ricky was doing it. He took that example of Ricky. Ricky wanted to play what? The fuzz guitar? And Ricky took that thing to his dad and asked his dad. Ricky humbled himself to make sure that's what his dad wanted. He didn't just go about presuming that he could do that. He wanted it set up just as his father would have it set up. And that's an interesting point. Because what did Jesus do? Jesus did everything the Father commanded him to do. That's an important thing. That's a very important thing. And one of the things is you know what the Lord does? The Lord doesn't really come down and sits down with me in the morning and has coffee with me and says, you know, Phil, this is exactly what I would want you to do today. No, I'm always praying. I'm always seeking. And I'm always trusting that He's going to give me what I need. And I'm going to step out in faith in that. Amen? But at the same time, I want to be more like always checking those things that I'm doing with people that are over me. When I have a discussion about the Lord with somebody, whether I got projects going on, I need to check with Paul. But I take things to Steve all the time. Steve, this is what I talk to this person about, and this is the points that I hit. And a lot of times he's in the back, he's seeing it from a different standpoint. He's seeing it from a standpoint of, I'm in the middle of the battle, and he's the captain. I'm going, all right, man, I don't see what's going on. Well, you got three guys flanking to your left. I mean, he's got a clearer picture of what's going on. And a lot of times, he can light up just a clearer picture of that whole thing for me. But that obedience is important. How much have we... I mean, we went to the conference, right? And we were all blessed. I mean, His love was there. I mean, the gospel was preached. Amen. How many of us have gone back home and gone to our old ways? How many of us are going back to the old same thing we used to do and not attacking this thing from a different point of view? How many of us are just presumptive in what we're doing? There's some of you guys are taking strides forward. Some of you guys are slipping right back into the old ways. That doesn't need to be the case. I mean, we have a way. The Lord set up a way. Now, let's go to... You know, I want to go to the Gospel of John. I want to go to chapter 17. I'm going to start on verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Now, this is Jesus praying to the Father, and He's talking about His disciples. The 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I these for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And I want to stop right there. Neither pray I these for alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's the 11 disciples. It's talking about the line of authority there. And so he's praying for those that will believe the testimony that they bring of Jesus Christ. Amen. And if they receive them and receive their word, then they're going to receive Jesus Christ. And it's an important thing, his way. Because right now he's establishing that line of authority that has taken place. And you know, I was talking to, I think Thursday night, to Brad about correction. And us getting corrected, and how the Father, or how the Lord corrects us. It talks about in Hebrews that if you endure chastisement, then you're the sons of God. If you endure it, I mean, you could walk away from it, you could turn away from it, whatever. But you know who usually brings that chastisement? Somebody that the Lord sends, somebody that you can see. That's who brings that. And Brad, you were talking about something that was very interesting Thursday night, and that was when Job says, "Why, Lord? Why, Lord?" As he had something to instruct the Lord on. You know, his reproach was asking why. "Oh, I'm sorry, Job. Were you with me when I created heaven and earth? I'm sorry. Did I seek your counsel on that? I'm sorry. My bad. I didn't know I was supposed to do that. Oh, I thought I created you." But how many times do we do that to the Lord and we don't even realize it? And the reason why I'm bringing this point up is because it's the truth. I mean, Jesus has his line of authority, amen? You got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. And that anointing flows down through that line of authority. And you can reject that advice from the people over you, or you can take heed to it and grow in the Lord. Not because the person's good, but because the Lord's good. That's how it works. So, but how many times do we sit there and question the Lord in that? How many times do we sit there and be just like Job and ask, why? When your authority comes down and they give you the advice of the Lord to set you free in, and you go and you look and you judge to see where they're at. Where are they at? Well, is he saying that because he's frustrated? He must be frustrated. So what motive does he have giving me that advice? His perception is just wrong. I mean, it's no different than telling the Lord, I don't like your way and I don't like this advice and your chastisement's not right. Why, Lord? We're in no different shape than Job when we're doing that. Are we? I mean, you know, it comes to down to a place of just stop asking why. I mean, David talked about exercising those spiritual senses and he uses those that are in authority. And your employers. And he uses all those people to get you to the obedience of him in his way. And he does it for you. He's perfect. He's going to put the right boss over you. Let me tell you something. I try to get away from doing what I was doing at work so bad. Man, I tried this way and that way, but no, I'm in that position. And now I see, you know what, Lord? This is what you have for me. It's good for me and it's teaching me lessons. And what Rick told me a long time, it is ordained of God that you be in that position, in that place, so you can learn those things. I walked away saying, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Now I'm going, that is exactly the truth. That is absolutely 100% evident before my face that that is the truth. But I had all these other ideas of how that wasn't the case. Guess what? I was wrong. And I praise God that I seen it. And now I praise God for what He's doing for me because it's good and it's for the safety of my soul. And for others. But I mean, if we really got to come down to it, man, it's not our place to wonder if they're frustrated or what their motive is or any of those things. When that word of correction comes to you or that word of advice comes to you from down the line of authority, it should be yes, sir, amen, no problem. And that's the place where I need to get at. Not my place to judge where he's coming from. Not my place. It's kind of like going to kindergarten. Telling the teacher, hey, let me teach you how to do this. Is it not? I mean, look, I get in my car, I crank the car up, I know it's going to start. Guess what? I don't know how it all works, what kind of injections and what goes there, what cylinder pitch it's at, or how much airflow it takes in or any of that. I don't know how that works. Man, it's electrical. I get in, it starts, cranks up, boom, I know it's going to go. All right, but if I start having a problem with that thing going, it's kind of like stepping out in faith. I start having problems as I'm walking in faith. I start having problems with my car. What do? I go take it to somebody that knows about the car, that can fix it. That's what the line of authority is there for you to do. They know something about where you've been, and they can help you get to in that car and grow in faith. It's not to hurt you. It's so that you can grow. So you can get in that vehicle and you can drive. So you can get in there and just walk it out in faith. What the Lord has you to walk out in. But if my mechanic says, hey man, you need to fix this cylinder, and I go change the air filter and I don't know why it works because I assumed he didn't know what he was talking about, it's not going to work, is it? It's not going to crank up. It's not going to run. That's what they're there for. And the Lord's good. I want to go to Colossians because I don't want us to forget what we have talked about in Texas. And in Texas, one of the things was loving God, loving one another. And man, if we can't learn to love one another here, how do you think we're going to be able to love those that need to receive the gospel that are out there? And if you're loving, I've talked about this on this, there's no way I can love you. I can't love you in this flesh. Can't do it. It's not in me. This flesh what is selfish. It what wants what it wants all the time. I got to put the Lord first and foremost, and then He gives me the direction to love you. He gives me that love to love you with. And I got to go to the source to get it, and that's the Lord. I don't have it in myself. I mean, you talk about you want to be a friend of Jesus. Then you're going to love Him and keep His commandments. If you love Him, you're going to do what He says. You know, you have my daughter tells me all the time, "Daddy, I love you." Well, then do what I say. That would show me that you love me. Other than that, you're really showing me you love yourself when you go and do about what you want to go do. You're all about you. How many times, "I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord." And then when He comes and He sends those people to correct and advise you and you go, "Well, I'm not doing that." Well, then you don't love Him. And if you can't love Him, you can't love one another. It's not going to happen. So let's talk about His way today a little bit, because we really need to get back to the basics. Let's go to Colossians 3. Man, I want to run through the whole thing, but I'm going to start in the first part and I'm going to skip down so I can get this thing wrapped up. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." For you are dead. How many of us are really dead? Are really putting off this old man? Oh, putting off this carnal thing? How many of us are really acting like that? I mean, some of us really are just very much alive and kicking in it. And only that is boasting in it. And is going the wrong direction. Because unless you consider this thing dead and put it down and live unto Christ and set your affections on those things which are above, it's not any good at all. Not any good at all. And I'm going to go down to ...17 and I'm going to go through 25. "And so, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." this is what that love's going to look like. And you're not going to be able to do it in the flesh. You're going to have to put that thing down. And that's a choice. And that's a choice that the Lord's gave us. That's the freedom of Jesus Christ. That He gave you His Spirit to overcome that. But I want to take a real good look. Fellas, what are you doing? Husbands, fathers, what are you doing in your home? Do you even know what your kids and your wives are struggling with? Do you have a clue, or are you just keeping yourself busy with other things? Look, I work 55, 60 hours a week, but the Lord can make time for me to spend some time with my family and know what they're going through, knowing what their struggles are. And the same goes for you. If you really are searching to be that priest, prophet, and king of your household, the Lord's going to give you just that, what you need to fulfill those duties. You're in that position whether you like it or not. And all the other things you're trying to do outside of that, if you ain't got that behind that four walls home squared away, and now you don't even have a clue what's going on in there, wake up. Wake up. Starts right in his heart. The way you're going to do this is be going just like Psalm, going to David in Psalm 51. Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. I need help. My heart's dirty. It's selfish, and it wants what it wants. Wives, are you sitting back and judging your husbands for everything that they're doing? Children, are you doing what your parents are telling you to do? Are you off too busy about your own thing? Servants, are you sitting back and judging your master? Are you honoring the Lord's way? Look, I know this ain't easy to hear, but it's good for you because it's the truth. Don't deceive yourselves in thinking that you're all right when you're not. Because I don't want the Lord coming to any of us and going, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. And the whole time I was thinking I was in a good place. We all need to get down in our closet. We all need to examine ourselves. We all need to get honest with one another. And honest with the Lord first and foremost. Man, we received something good out there. Let's not let it go. Let's not return back to our old ways. Let's leave those things behind. There's lives out there at stake because of it. At stake because of it. It's important. It's important. You are showing them what Jesus looks like. What a servant of the Lord looks like. You take on His name and go about your own way. That's what they see. They'll never see the power of God because the power of God is not against, is with the disobedient children. We're commanded to walk as He walked. By God, let's get there, amen, as a body. What did I say to things? We're going to come back and there's going to be situations. There's going to be tribulations coming. And what is that thing that's going to hold us together? Anybody remember me saying that Thursday night? Is your love for one another. They will know you're my disciples by your love one for another. But if we're not honoring this way, we're not loving one another. So let's do some heart searching and let's get our face before the Lord and let's get free of the things that's been holding us back. Amen? Amen.
All right, I'm done. Wow, that was some good preaching. I'm not going to hold you very long. I'm not going to. I almost like good cop, bad cop, except it may be bad cop here. Because I'm not sure I got good cop in me. The scariest thing that ever came across my radar was the time that Davey told me that our children receive understanding about the character and the nature and the personality of God through how we reveal it. And I shuddered because what I had been revealing to my kids was what a selfish, arrogant prick I was. And God's not like that. But our children learn who God is by how we reveal Him to be. And if we don't have time for them, we can't answer a question for them, they can't make a request of us without being in fear of their lives, being in fear of rejection, then we're not revealing who God is to our family. Husbands, fathers, that is your job. You have a little microcosm of the household of faith. You have the line of authority. It goes from you to your wife and then to your children in age-related steps, usually. And the older they get and the better job you did bringing them up, the more trustworthy they are in that position. Now, if they're 30 and still living with you and, you know, can't tie their own shoes, you probably have a problem. You probably have had a problem for double-digit years. But you know, I never had a problem revealing myself to my family. I had a problem revealing who the Lord is to my family because I didn't really understand that. And I look at myself as regards how I brought up my kids, the kids that I raised, and I see myself as a complete and total failure. Because out of the five, there's only one that's concerned about the Lord's things. So I didn't do a very good job, and most of what happened with him was because the Lord's good. It wasn't because I did anything right. But I'm honest that I have to counsel husbands and fathers to take seriously their job and their role, because the only one, there's the triune role that they have in their household, they're prophets, priests, and kings. The only one you naturally migrate to is king. The other two are about other people, not you. Most of us are too selfish to naturally migrate toward those. Most fathers want the rule and want to enforce how the, you know, the excrement flows downhill Make sure everybody understands that and fears not pleasing you. But I don't want my children to be in terror of me. I want them to be in terror of the Lord. Because I can't save them or send them to hell. But He can. And although that's not His choice, it's His prerogative. His choice is that we get to know Him. His choice is to extend grace and mercy to us and have us be successful in extending it first to our families and then to others outside. If you want to, you're going to start talking about how will they know? They will know us by our love one for another. If you're going to start talking about that, you're going to start getting opportunities to love. Go to 1 Corinthians 13 and read it. It's not that panty waist philios love that's conditional and based on how you feel at the moment. Terms like long suffering. Without evil motivations, without extending evil motives onto other people. The root of which is what's in your heart to begin with. Opportunities to love are not going to feel good many times. Say, what?
They look different.
They look different, yeah. Had I a family living with me at the moment, I would still stand in terror of screwing up. How I reveal the character of the Heavenly Father to be to them. They shouldn't have to grovel for your time and attention. Their concerns, the stuff they're going through, they should be part of your everyday conversation. It should matter to you what matters to them. And they should see you as a sober-minded, even I started to say that and the word just fell right out of my head and missed my mouth altogether. Even-tempered. Compassionate, impassionate, empathy. I figured if I said that enough, it was going to finally come out right. Ministering the love of Christ. Because what does Peter say? Cast your cares on Him because He cares about you. If you're not revealing that part of the Father's, Heavenly Father's character to your family, man, you're missing the best part. You're missing the dessert. That's the best part, bringing the hammer down and holding people accountable. That's the work. Taking people's cares off of them and taking them to the Father and offering them up. It's the intercession of the priest. That's the best part. And the better you are at doing that, the tighter group, tighter knit bunch your family is. And prophet is simply delivering the word of the Lord and being clear about it. He starts in Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I can apply that in all kinds of ways, but we very seldom think about it inside the four walls we live in. But that's the faith. That's it starts there and goes out from there. Because if you're not doing it there, chances are you're not doing it anywhere else, right, either. Wives, submit to your husbands. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands, says it's fit in the Lord. That is a relationship that's different than ruler and ruled. King and subject. In a kingdom, you got a king and you got subjects. Everybody else is subject to the king. Submission is a choice. It's an agreement with those that have rule over you. It's about agreeing that the Lord's way is the right way. And you want to be a partaker in it. And somebody who gives it out, what they get. And in partaking in it. As it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. It always amazes me that it surprises anybody that husbands have to be told to love their wives. Because you're selfish. Husbands love themselves. Men, it's the only thing we're 100% dedicated to. And be not bitter against them. Why would you get bitter against your wife? Well, because you have to pay attention to her. Your time, your space is violated every day now. You used to could do whatever you wanted to do, anytime you wanted to do it. Now you have to deal with this person. And you're selfish, and that doesn't go well. Don't get embittered against her. Find out what the Lord wants you to do. And do it. Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. It doesn't say, because this is well-pleasing to your parents. It's immaterial. It's about learning to please the Lord. Not saying that pleasing your parents is a bad thing, but I'm saying you please the Lord, you're going to please your parents. The way that works. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. The idea that they can never satisfy you, they can never please you. There's no hope in trying. Hopelessness is what that is. You need to make sure that they understand that you're in the same shape they're in. So you have compassion for them. Deliver them the hope that you have in the Lord. Not the hopelessness that the world gives. Servants, covers everybody here. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. So much of the eye service and men pleasing stuff that it's talking about here is about being seen doing what the boss or whoever you're serving wants you to be doing while they're looking. And then when their back's turned, you're talking about them. Undercutting them. Stabbing them in the back. Contrary to that, with singleness of heart, sincerity of the heart, fearing God. Because after all, it is God you're trying to please. And if it's God you're trying to please and you're doing whatever you're doing for Him, then the standard is automatically going to be higher than the person you're serving. So you can't help but please them in the carrying out of what you're doing. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. I got to go to church. I have to go do a Bible study. That's not exactly doing it heartily as unto the Lord, is it? Heartily as unto the Lord, I get to go do that. Not a sense of obligation, but a sense of opportunity. I don't know too many people to carry that one out rightly. But if our minds and hearts were set on the things of the Lord, that would be how we see things as opportunities. It's another time, another opportunity I get to share the Lord, to talk about how He is, to speak His word, to help other people. That's an opportunity. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. It may not ever get fair, especially not fair as we perceive fair. But knowing that the Lord's promise is sure. And if we're concerned about pleasing Him, then He delivers according to His promise. And we have an inheritance. And that's why all this stuff here matters. And if you don't get anything else right, get your family right. And then watch the Lord move. Watch the Lord move. Wait till you see the amount of opportunities. I'm done.